All right, welcome back. Who's talking? Hobble and Frank. We thank Bobby Stokes, who was with us during the first half hour, and we're going to talk a little bit about next week. Another friend and former teammate of mine, Dan Bonner, who obviously does a lot of TV for the ACC Network. He's going to join us next week. I've also reached out to Corey Alexander, so maybe we can plug him in the following week. Another Virginia guy who works for the ACC Network, but two former Hoos that are very familiar with the ACC and can help us break down the league as we go to the last week of the regular season and the ACC tournament.
And we have Vern Inge from LeClaire Ryan. He's a sports attorney. Going to bring him on. We're going to talk a little bit about the troubles that Miami and North Carolina face, as well as the NCAA, which is currently dealing with a major lawsuit having to do with whether players should be entitled to income from the sale of jerseys and any use of their image in conjunction with sports merchandise.
Yeah, I'm not familiar with all the details, but apparently that investigation by the NCAA down at Miami is not gone well. Apparently some
For anybody.
Looks like it's a lose-lose situation
down
there.
It's gotten ugly for everybody involved. But
After lose-lose discussion, how about a win-win? How about Virginia Olympic lacrosse, baseball, swimming? A lot of good news coming out of Charlottesville recently.
Well, it's exciting. The Cavalier women won their sixth consecutive ACC title in women's swimming.
And it wasn't close. I mean, it was an overwhelming victory.
Pretty much a beatdown. Virginia finished with 832 points, and that was their 11th overall ACC title. The nearest runner-up, if you will, was Virginia Tech with 530 points to Virginia's 830 points.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So pretty much a beatdown. Mark Bernardino, who was on the show not too long ago.
Last week, I think.
He's got to be pretty happy.
And the men's swimming championship this week.
This week, starting Thursday. And Virginia is a slight favorite. It will be heavily contested.
Yeah, it won't be a 300-point victory for the men.
I think it would be more like 50 to 60 or 80 points. Meanwhile, UVA baseball swept Toledo and is now off to a
5-0, 6-0?
7-0.
7-0.
So they are rolling. And if you haven't seen the baseball team in recent years, you might want to get up there to Davenport Field because, boy, this team can hit the home runs.
I thought it was cool yesterday at the JPJ on the screen underneath the big scoreboard in the center. They kept giving live shots from the baseball field.
How cool is that? With
updates of the score, and that was one of the big applause moments of the afternoon when they flashed the final score of the baseball game up on the screen.
Switching gears slightly, the Virginia baseball game versus George Washington that was going to be played on Tuesday has been moved to Wednesday at 3 o'clock. So anybody that has tickets here in the greater Richmond area, up in Charlottesville, whatever.
I think they probably looked at the weather forecast. I think it's supposed to rain tomorrow.
It is. Yeah. So they just moved it. Now, it's interesting. They don't move the lacrosse game on Tuesday night at 7 o'clock.
Those guys are tough.
They're tough. They got a big game, Mount St. Mary's. 7 p.m. they'll have the face-off. And really expecting a lot from this lacrosse team now because they've gone on the road and they pretty much manhandled in the fourth period a typically stubborn and pugnacious and difficult team in Stony Brook.
And Stony Brook, in recent memory, they've been in the NCAA tournament several times, haven't they?
Yeah, you can't take the Seawolves for granted.
And then speaking of lacrosse, that Friday night at 6 o'clock, not to overlook Mount St. Mary's, but the Orange Men, little road.
Who?
The young Syracuse ball club up there in the Carrier Dome, I guess, is that where they're playing a game? Where it is?
Yeah, that's a 6 p.m. Face-off, and not to get ahead of ourselves, but I think this is a perfect time to be playing someone like that for the Cavaliers. Cavaliers are young in the pipes with Dan Marino at goal, and one thing's interesting is Matt Cockerton, number 21 on his jersey, but maybe number one in your hearts after you see him play. He has scored 11 goals in the last two games, and he looks like a man possessed.
Well, it's interesting because when we had Dom on the show a couple of weeks ago, he was saying maybe the offense was the question mark, but it sounds like the question is being answered.
Yeah, they're coming to play. Looking here, what else have we got? Oh, ACC released the 2013 football schedule for all schools, and I'd have to say UVA's got one of the toughest schedules that I can recall, maybe ever. It's a tough schedule.
Yeah, very challenging conference schedule in the non-conference games.
Brigham Young, Oregon, Ball State, all three of those teams are top 25 caliber teams last year, and Oregon is typically top five in the last, what, six, 7 years. They've been pretty ruthless.
Well, the last couple of years, well, of course, what, 2 years ago, they played in the national title game, didn't they, or did they?
They're fast. It's Grease Lightning.
Yeah, they score a lot of points, and they really keep the ball moving.
We're going to have to water the field a lot the night before and slow those guys down.
Hey, it's been done before.
Let the grass grow about another 3 or 4 inches. Slow those dudes down. All right, let's see, what else? Hobo, the...
Well, you know, of course, we've touched upon the basketball, but and I thought it was interesting after the game ended yesterday, Craig Littlepage took the microphone, basically thanked those in attendance for the game, said how much the crowd means to the team, and encouraged everyone to turn out on Thursday night to create, I think, an electric atmosphere. The game is, they announced, I think, today, the game
sold out
for Thursday night, and I just think, you know, I'm ready to go up there tomorrow and just sit there for a couple days waiting for the game to start. I'm pumped up. I think it's going to be a fun night. If you're a college basketball player, this is the kind of game you want to play in.
And you know what? The Peck line defense is going to have its hands full this coming Thursday night. Duke has got some bombers.
Well, I think, you know, that's why I asked Bobby Stokes. I think you do have to double-team Plumlee, but you got to be smart about it, and you really got to have that weak side rotation because Duke post players are really good at finding the guy on the weak side, and Duke has a lot of guys that can shoot the three. So, I mean, if they get open looks from the weak side as a result of double-teaming the low post, Virginia could have a tough night, especially if Duke starts making those shots.
Somebody better find Suleiman and Curry. Those two guys, they can, you know, it's almost like they're the Globetrotters the way they throw it up there. But I have seen games this year where Duke's shooters went cold. And
the one thing about Jesperson, and I think that's the one thing, you know, he may not score a whole lot of points, but when he's out there, you know, he's like 6'6", 6'7", but I think he's got a long reach too.
He makes people hurry their shot.
Yeah, I mean, he can really alter your shot mechanics a little bit,
Harris is the same way. And Nolte is about 6'7", so everybody's got to hurry. It'd be nice if Jontel Evans had the kind of game where he really disturbed the ball handler and could throw off their timing. But I think we got Chris Wright on the line. Chris, good friend of the program, really since the inception of the show. He's the editor of thesaber.com, our good media partner. And anyway, Chris, are you there?
Yeah, I'm with you. How are you guys doing?
We're doing great. Hey,
Frank, by the way, said the football schedule's Cupcake City. Is that the way you see it?
Yeah, I mean, 8 home games.
So, oh, yeah. That's it. Okay.
Yeah, 8 home games. I mean, you know, really doesn't matter who we're playing, does it?
The schedule for the next 5 years is starting to look
ominous.
Fun for fans, but gray hairs if Coach London didn't shave his head bald. Gray hairs for Coach London with those schedules the next several years.
You know, it's funny. I bumped into Tom O'Brien at the John Paul Jones Arena on Saturday night for the Earth, Wind, and Fire concert, and just spoke to him briefly and told him I was glad that he was back in Charlottesville. And I almost wanted to ask him about this business of bringing Oregon into the schedule. And, somehow bit my tongue. But let's face it, Brigham Young to start the season August 31st. Hopefully they'll make that a night game because it's usually hot in August. Oregon the following week. Then Virginia has a bye week and then VMI. Then Virginia's at Pittsburgh. Then they come home to play Ball State, Maryland away, Duke home, Georgia Tech home, Clemson home, Carolina away, open week, Miami away, and then Virginia Tech. I mean, that's a pretty meaty, big boy schedule, even by any standard.
Yeah, I don't see a loss on that schedule myself. Now, the funny thing, you know, Ball State, too, I mean...
they went to a ball game last year.
Yeah, Virginia fans may not be that familiar with Ball State, but that's a challenging opponent as well.
Yeah, for the least name of the name opponents on that schedule. Ball State has actually had a couple of decent seasons back-to-back here. So it is definitely not an easy schedule, but I think they're trying to find a way to do two things. One, get fans interested again, because the attendance at home games has not been what it needs to be.
Right.
And then I think the flip side is they're also trying to get recruits excited and current players excited about the schedule to let them know that, hey, we're trying to be a big-time program here. That's what we sold you on the recruiting trail, and now we're showing it to you on the schedule. You got to bust your butt in the weight room. You got to bust your butt in spring practice. You got to bust your butt in the classroom so you can stay eligible, because we're going to provide you with big-boy football, and that's why you came here. So I understand the approach. I'm thinking they may be jumping both feet first in a little early
yes.
Where the program's at. I think we might be a year or two early, but I understand where they're coming from.
Well, one thing's for certain, every single player on the Cavalier football team realizes that every practice matters, every weightlifting day in the gym matters, what they eat matters, film study matters, because let me tell you, when you're coming right out of the gate, you're going to play a team like Brigham Young, and then the week after Oregon, you are really going after it, aren't you?
Yeah, you better lay off the May and June Gus Burgers. Because when Oregon comes to town and when BYU come to town, those Gus Burgers are going to make you a little bit slow still. So, yeah, hopefully guys are taking everything from top to bottom a little more seriously after seeing the types of teams that Virginia has added to the schedule for the near future.
Chris, maybe you can answer one question for me. Is Maryland still in the ACC or not? They're still showing up on everybody's football schedule. Are they in the ACC for one more year?
I think they're here until 2014. So through the 2014 season, I think.
Okay.
But I have to double check what they said when they first released it, unless the ACC lets them out early at some point. But I feel like they have at least one more season, maybe two more seasons, before it's official. And the same thing with Notre Dame coming in for their full agreement other than football, and their partial agreement for football, I think, is still 2 years away. So after the 2014 season, but I'd have to double check all the stuff I read when all that news came out.
You know, I think Notre Dame and Louisville joined the conference 2014. Notre Dame, as you know, only plays five games against ACC opponents in 2014. But I see that Notre Dame is on the schedule this year against Pittsburgh. I didn't see them jumping out anywhere else. I haven't had a chance to.
Yeah, and they've been playing Pittsburgh for a while. So that's probably left over from old contracts.
Yeah,
would be my guess. But, you know, once they get in, they're going to be on Virginia's schedule from time to time, too. And we already know that UCLA and Boise State and teams like that are on the out years. Like, not just next year, this fall schedule, but, you know, the future years have some really big name opponents on it, too. Including Notre Dame at some point, because they're going to rotate through all the ACC teams.
That's correct. Boston College normally plays Notre Dame somewhere, and I see that in 2013, this fall, they are not playing Boston College, is not playing Notre Dame. So that's interesting. I also noticed Florida State has a pretty mild out-of-conference schedule this year, as does Miami. Mm. And I think that's very interesting.
Well, you know,
Virginia,
Frank, go
Virginia
ahead.
Took all the good opponents.
Yeah.
Apparently we did.
Frank has taught me, what are we on, 4 years now?
This is season four?
Yeah, Frank has taught me that football's never out of season. But so we opened with a little football discussion, and the schedule was released today. But it is basketball season, and I know you're a basketball coach, Chris Wright, so you have credibility. Talk a little bit about the Hoos and how well they're doing, and give us a little preview of the Duke game.
And actually, for Virginia fans in Richmond, Bryant Stiff's team plays Saturday night in the state quarterfinals at VCU.
Wow.
So they're there in the state again. And actually, my team is playing the Brunswick Girls in the game before that in the state quarterfinals in Richmond on Saturday. But if you want to see BJ Stiff, a Virginia commitment, in the capital city in Richmond, it is Saturday night at VCU, just so people know. On the current guys, the guys that are already here, they're playing awfully well lately. Yeah, they lost at Miami and at North Carolina, but they were in both of those games, and currently both of those teams look like they're locked into the ACC tournament, NCAA tournament, and that's certainly where Virginia is trying to get. The big debate right now is, do they need the Duke win to secure their resume, or could they win the others and lose Duke and still find their way in? And I don't think they need the Duke win if they sweep everywhere else. I think if they get the Duke win, they're in really good shape because the bubble is really soft this particular year.
What do they need to do to beat Duke?
if I knew the answer to that, I would be a really highly paid analyst and coach, right?
Well, that's an easy answer. They need to score more points than Duke does. That's an
you just need to come on Who's Talking more often. That'll get you there.
I heard you saying you would double Plumlee. My gut instinct is to leave Plumlee one-on-one and let him get what he wants and take care of the shooters. It'll be interesting to see which one Coach Bennett chooses. And he may mix it up. You know, he may double sometimes and not sometimes just to mix it up on Duke. Because you know Coach K and those post players are going to be very well prepared for the post trap. And like you said, they're already very good at ducking down to the backside and getting that post-to-post pass, getting backside layups and things like that if you do trap the post. So my instinct is, can you do different things to bother Plumlee other than double-team him? My gut instinct is you stay on the shooters and try to make it a rough night for Curry and some of those other guys and hope Plumlee doesn't go for like 30 and 20 or something like that. But I don't know which one Coach Bennett.
Part of the risk there is you don't want to get Mitchell in foul trouble.
Definitely not.
But Toby's back.
Toby's back.
And Atkins has been resting, so I bet you they play Atkins.
Mitchell would, the way he's rebounding the basketball and scoring on the offensive end, you'd like to have him out there if at all possible.
Play them both, Hobbo. All right, Chris, last question, then we got to go to break here. This has been an exciting basketball season, and you've got four games remaining before we get to the ACC tournament. Let's assume Virginia beats Duke in an exciting thriller. How many other wins would they need to be a lock for the NCAA?
I think if they win three out of four, whether Duke's involved with that or not, I think they're in. I think if they beat Duke, they might be able to sneak in with 2-2, as long as the loss isn't, you know, like, awful. If they don't get blown out at Boston College or they don't get blown out against Florida State, I think they can maybe go 2-2 with a Duke win and still be okay. Like I said, the bubble is really soft. There are a lot of bubble teams out there that have sketchy resumes. And we know Virginia's, because of some of the early season losses, their RPI and strength of schedule and losses outside of the top 100, yada, yada, yada. We know all of that's kind of sketchy with Virginia, too. But what they do have is a lot of top 100 wins. And I think considering the way the bubble looks otherwise, I really think they're okay as long as they win three out of four, no matter which three it is. And I think if they beat Duke, they can maybe sneak in at 2-2 in these last four games. Hope I'm right.
Yeah, I think so.
We don't have any problems.
I think, the coaches always say one game at a time. But at any rate, Chris, as always, we thank you for taking a couple of minutes to join us tonight.
Yeah, no, I appreciate you guys having me on, and I'm looking forward to Justin Anderson and Joe Harris on Thursday. Those two guys seem to like these type of atmospheres.
Yeah, it's a big game, and the good players really look forward to this kind of game, so it'll be fun. But anyway, Chris Wright, editor of the Saber, joining us tonight. We're going to go to our final break, and we'll return after these messages with some closing comments. Stay tuned.